So I want her to share it because it was like the cutest thing. She would come to me and she's like, "Mommy, mommy, I gave my life to Christ." And she would, you would do it when we were in the car. We'll be listening to some of the sermons from church. And you would say the prayer then. And you'd be like, "Mommy, I said the prayer with them. I accepted God into my heart." And I said, "That's awesome, baby." And then her teacher had told her about how she could just pray. So she said, "I came home and I said the prayer. I gave my life to Christ." She did this like at least three or more times where she came to me and she was like, "Mommy, I gave my life to Christ." And she really wanted to get baptized as well.
Welcome to 1322 Life, where faith meets financial strategies. I'm Bree Smith, CPA, and I believe that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, as stated in Proverbs 13:22. This podcast is your guide to building generational wealth God's way.
Hello and welcome to 1322 Life. I'm so happy to have you this week. We are starting a new series this month. So we already had spent a beautiful time on discipline, and we even spent some time even talking about living a lot lifestyle last month during different times. So we kind of had like a free-for-all, but we are getting into, in the month of June, having faith like a child. Why are we getting into faith? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, like literally, we cannot see anything come into fruition within the kingdom here on earth. We have to believe, we have to have faith in order to see God work through our lives. Like if we don't believe in him, then what are we doing? So we're going to be talking about having faith. And what better way to talk about having faith like a child than bringing my child, my why, my Bubba, my first like love of my life. She is so phenomenal, so amazing. When people tell me, "Why did you do this, that, and the third? Or why were you working so hard?" This chick. As you can see, she grows like a weed. She takes all of my money. She does all the things, but she literally is one of the main reasons why my heart beats every day. Like, I love her to pieces. And she loves Jesus and she prays to him and he answers her. If you live in Virginia and you're wondering why you had snow, it's her. It was her fault a few months ago. I mean, literally, I see this little girl and she just goes to Jesus and she prays to him and she talks to him. And he delivers on so many different things for her. So I thought she would be the perfect one to bring in. So please welcome to our podcast, my daughter, my baby, Monica.
Hi.
So we're going to kind of do this in interview format, but I first want to start with the scripture that I'm referencing, right? So Luke 18:15 through 17 reads, "People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.'" Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. That means we got to have faith like a child. We have to believe like a child. We have to trust God like a child. And you know, the reason why children are able to trust and believe like they do, because they haven't been hurt yet. People haven't disappointed them enough yet. And so they actually can believe. And when they believe, they're able to actually see the great work that happens through their lives. And if we're able to just keep on getting this faith for them, helping them to really lean into that faith of God, the same way that they were able to believe in Santa Claus. Oh my God, what if they actually believed in the one and only true God, even more so than Santa? What would happen? So I got my baby here so we can talk about it. All right. So, Bubba Bub, I want to start with, just tell me about your relationship with God and like how you be thinking when you're praying and just what faith means to you.
I guess for the relationship with God, when I just see him as someone I can go to. If like I'm like, if something bad's going on, or if I'm like sad or something, just I guess as someone I can kind of go to. And whenever I go to God, it's like I have kind of hope that things will get better once I go to Him. And I just said, like, and if things are still bad, I just think, hey, well, maybe God will answer my prayer and stuff like that. And hope that He will.
That's you?
Yeah, a lot of the time.
So, what does faith mean to you?
Like trust, like trusting in someone. Like if you're going to do like a trust fall, having faith that the person will actually catch you. So then just having faith that God will like be there, or faith that God is real and stuff like that.
So quick question. How do you feel when God doesn't answer your prayer?
Disappointed, but I don't. Yeah. Disappointed and upset. Usually not really mad, though.
How do you deal with that?
Well, I just. I mean, what do you mean? How do I deal with that? Like, I can't force anyone to answer. Like I can't. Like, I'm not going to beg. Like, well, I don't know. I just mean like, I mean like, I don't do anything like about it. I mean, yeah, I'm disappointed, but it's like, I mean, God has a reason for what He does. I can't really think of a lot of instances where He didn't answer my prayers, but like, I can think of like maybe a few.
You want to talk about one of the time?
Not
okay. We'll talk about it later. So when I say how do you deal with it, I mean more so how do you deal with the disappointment? So you prayed to God for something. He said, nah, not yet. No, or nothing at all. And you just didn't get what you wanted. I know it makes you feel disappointed, but do you stop believing or trusting in God?
No. Like, I remember one time me and you were praying for like a white Christmas, but we didn't get a white Christmas. And I was like, okay. I wasn't like, I was maybe, I kind of wanted to see a white Christmas because I've never had one before. But I wasn't that disappointed. Plus, it meant that we got to still ride around. If it was a white Christmas, then we wouldn't have been able to ride around and like go to other people's houses. So maybe that's like the prayer wasn't answered for a reason. And like now that I think about it, I'm not kind of sad. I'm really not that sad that it wasn't answered because it was a good thing.
Okay. I like that. So you're able to still see the good in the no.
Whenever I'm disappointed, I try to see something good. I said, whenever disappointed, I try to see some type of good in things.
How do you think others should deal with maybe even bigger disappointments? Say they're trusting in God for like having a baby like mommy did before. And then remember when we lost that baby? So some people are dealing with serious stuff like that. And I know you're just a kid, but it's sometimes it's like, this is way more than just a white Christmas we're asking for. So what advice would you give as a child for adults dealing with bigger issues or trust problems as to why they're not believing in God right now, why their faith isn't as strong as it should be?
Well, I guess like just to know that whatever God does, He does it for a reason. Maybe it's a not yet. Maybe it's because something that isn't right now, or maybe He knows you're not ready. But I would just say to keep believing and to keep trusting in God, because maybe isn't not right right now, and He's waiting till you're ready and in the position for you to be able to, like, to have those things. And, like, I remember, like, I prayed, like, last year that by the start of the school year we would have a dog, and we didn't. But now we do. So it was just a kind of not right now. I prayed for it. I prayed for it a lot, but it didn't happen. But now we do have that one. So I think God was waiting for us to kind of be ready.
We're still not ready. I did not know that a dog was this much work. I mean, she's over there cutting up right now. Yeah, we're still not ready. So I definitely understand that, but I mean, it's been a journey. It's been tough. Even with having the dog, I think that not yet should have been a little longer, but nonetheless, we have her now. She's part of the family. Nothing we can do about it. But I love, and I asked you that question, even though it was like a tough question, I asked you that because while we deal with big problems, adult problems, and I don't really like talk to you about all the adult stuff all the time, but I just make sure that I'm honest with you about what's going on in your life that affects you. And I wanted you to give advice like a child, because since you are a child, sometimes y'all make stuff a lot more simple. Where us adults are always making it really complicated. So I think that was very wise what you said. Even though you are still a little girl, you are so knowledgeable. And I think that God really talks to you and through you because of your relationship with him. So I want to talk about something else. You had decided to get up every single day and read your Bible before going to school until you read all the way through. And then once you finished it, you did it again. So what made you do that? Please talk to people about it.
I honestly don't know. I don't remember, but I just remember, I think, getting up every day to do that. And I just know that now I want to get back to that, because even though I don't read the little kid Bible anymore, which maybe that's why, because it was a little kid Bible, it was more easy. Easier to like do that every morning. I guess I just got out of the habit of doing that once I stopped reading that Bible. So then I'm trying to get back doing that with with my Bible now. But I guess I just wanted to have a relationship with God and stuff. I guess that's just, so I just read my Bible every day. I don't know.
I love that. I think that's exactly what it is. Like, you just had a hunger to know more about God. And honestly, her doing that made me start doing it. Because I'm like, wow, my child has been dedicated. And like, she got up and then she was like, Mommy, look, I did it. And then I think I tried to reward you and like give you some money or pay you for going through the Bible. And what did you say to me?
I said that I don't want to be paid just to have a relationship with God. And I was like, when I finished it, I was like, I wonder if like I'll get like a mentor or something. But like, I'm like, actually, I don't think I need any money or anything for that, because I don't need money just to have like a relationship with God. Like, I don't want to get paid to read the Bible. Like, just something in my heart did not want me to. I just didn't want to do that.
Which is phenomenal. Now, I wasn't paying her to read the Bible just like to try and pay my child to have a relationship with Jesus. That wasn't it. But I paid them for reading books. So that's how their allowance was. It was, if you read your book, you would get paid. We never had talked about her getting paid for reading the Bible all the way through. I never even told her about doing it. It was just something she decided in her heart she wanted to do. And then she got up and she did it every single day until she has wore that Bible out. I wasn't paying her because I wanted to like force her to have a relationship with God. But it's like, because she went out of her way to do this big, beautiful thing, I wanted to reward it and celebrate it in some way. And a lot of ways, like, you know, I give my kids money and let them go do whatever they want to do with it after they tithe and save something away for college. I always want to be able to reward her because I want her to continue that behavior. But she was like, no, Mommy, this is not something I want to be paid for. It doesn't feel right. And I said, okay. And I respected and honored that. But she got something way better out of it. She has an amazing relationship with God. That is literally every mother's dream, to be able to know, every Christian mother's dream, to be able to know that their child has a relationship with Christ and is after God's own heart. And that is literally this kid. She's full of integrity. She is joyful and loving and caring and kind and so trustworthy. And you're so awesome, amazing, and great. And God made her that way from the beginning. I can't say that it's like, oh, like it was a shock or a surprise. She's just always been awesome, amazing, and great. Like literally. But I'm so proud of you. And I love your faith. I admire your faith. And you push me to do better so that I'm growing closer in Christ so that I can lead you even closer to him. So I've been working my way through my Bible this year, as we know. And I am now in 2 Kings. Around this part. 2 Kings 13 today. So I'm making my way through my Bible. It's beautiful seeing on my Bible app because I also listen to the audiobook. And so I started off this year with like 90 hours to listen to, and I got like 55 left. So I'm already a third of the way through, and it's beautiful. It's so amazing. So thank you for inspiring me, bub, because seeing you get up and read that Bible, I was like, there's no way my baby's going to end up reading through an entire Bible before me. Now, she did read through the entire children's book Bible before me, which I've read through a children's book Bible before plenty of times. But I have to make it through this one before. So I'm on my way so that I can lead my baby closer to Christ. But it's not a competition. It's just beautiful to be able to continue to grow closer to God and for us to be having that hunger to get closer to God, to have that hunger, to have a deeper relationship with him. Because when you truly accept him as Lord and Savior, you're not just saying, oh yeah, God, I believe in you, and then going out and doing crazy stuff. Oh, that's what I want to talk about too. What made you want to give your life to Christ and get saved?
So I guess I wanted to do it because I just remembered I really wanted to have a relationship with God. That's just one of the things I remember, because I just knew that we can't like do anything without God, and we can't I don't know how to explain like what I'm trying to say, but like we can't do anything without God. We can't have like a great life or anything. Like, you know, God is there for us. God made this world and he's there for us. So I guess I just knew that I needed God and that I would need God. And I really wanted to have that relationship with him. So that's why I did it.
Tell us about how you gave your life to God.
They always did those little like give your life to God prayers on some of the sermons. So I just did it. Wait. Oh, I remember now. At my school, my third grade teacher, I think she like talked about how she like gave her life to God one day and how we can always just say those prayers. So then I just remember coming home one day and later just saying one of those prayers because I knew I wanted to have a relationship with God. So I said that prayer. And then later, I got baptized. At church. So then, yeah.
So I wanted her to share it because it was like the cutest thing. She would come to me and she's like, mommy, I gave my life to Christ. And you would do it when we were in the car. We'll be listening to some of the sermons from church, and you would say the prayer then, and you'd be like, mommy, I said the prayer with them. I accepted God into my heart. And I said, that's awesome, baby. And then her teacher had told her about how she could just pray. So she said, I came home and said the prayer. I gave my life to Christ. She did this like at least three or more times where she came to me and she was like, mommy, I gave my life to Christ. And she really wanted to get baptized as well. And so I had talked to my apostle and told her, you know, Monica really wants to be baptized. How can we go about getting this set up for her? Because she was really on fire for Jesus and she wanted to do it. So I really think because you wanted to get baptized, Pastor set up the baptism and then a lot more people were able to get baptized that day because she set it up for you and then asked if anybody else wanted to be baptized as well, because we have a pastor that will literally do it for just one. But it also allowed us to set up an invitation for others because we have a smaller church. So we don't just have like a big old baptism pool or something always readily available. And so she set it up for Monica and then asked if anyone else wanted to. And your daddy got baptized with you and quite a few other church members, which was beautiful. That's what it also looks like to have faith like a child, because she was so excited and ready to give her life to Christ. And that was very similar to my journey of how excited I was to give my life to Christ. Now, when I was growing up, I wasn't listening to sermons like on a podcast. Podcasts weren't a thing, but I'm still very young. But, you know, it just wasn't a thing. You know, instead, you had them on CDs, tapes, and my mom didn't have any of those. And my grandma would watch it all the time on TV. And I did not necessarily like watching the really old like pastors on TV. But I went to a very old school Baptist church, and when they called up, and I've been waiting because I really wanted to give my life to Christ, and my grandma had given me a children's Bible that I was reading and discipling other people on the bus to give their life to Christ, and reading my Bible with them, like in third grade. And I had been waiting, and I was like, asking my grandma, when is it that we can go up there to give our life to Christ? And so I was waiting to the point in the sermon where he asked, now, who wants to give their life to Christ? And I ran. I shot up there to the front of the church. We used to sit in the back of old school Baptist church, and it was Shiloh Baptist Church. I love them. They're still my church family. And I shot up there. And still, when I go back there to this day, they're like, you're the little girl that ran up here. So it was over 20 years ago, and they still remember me. You're the little girl that ran up here to give your life to Christ. And I'm like, yes, that was me. So it's like you get a joy in your heart, and you have a hunger and a thirst to like read your Bible, tell other people about God, to pray, to get to know him, to just like have a relationship with him. Like when you're really and truly hungering and thirsting for God, you make time for him, and you make it a point to spend time with him and to read his word. So, Bubba Bub, I would like for you to give some advice for some people that are struggling and they have no idea what to do or how to go about getting a real relationship with God. From your perspective, how do you do that?
Well, I guess it doesn't take much. Like how you said to me, I guess a few days ago about the, scripture in the Bible that said like, come as you are or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, it doesn't take much. Like you could just start by reading your Bible or praying or even just going to church for the first time. Mm-hmm. And just like start, just like doing one little thing could start your relationship with Christ.
Yeah. Okay. And can you explain come as you are?
If you feel like you're just like doing bad things, or you're just you don't really talk to God, but you know that he like exists and stuff like that, and you want to have a relationship, but you just feel like you're like not right, like I don't know, like
not good enough.
Yeah. It's like you don't have to worry about being good enough or anything. God just wants you to come in whatever, like whatever way you are, just to come to him. And just to like God will definitely have a relationship with you if you want it. Like if you want it.
If you ask.
Yeah. If you ask for it. So yeah. That's what I think come as you are means.
So, yes. And we talked about that. And I'll say the only thing I'll say is just is come as you are. And then God will clean it up afterwards. So come as you are. If you don't have churchy clothes, come as you are. If you still curse, come as you are. Please don't curse in church, but come as you are. You know, just come as you are. if you're still struggling with sin and whatever the sin may be, come as you are. God will clean you up. You can't get clean without God. You can't truly get clean without God. You can't fight against the devil by yourself and win. You might think you can, but you really can't. You have to have God with you. You have to have the Holy Spirit in you in order to be able to fight against the devil, because it says in the word, like, we're not fighting against flesh and bone. We're fighting against spiritual beings. Like, this is a spiritual battle. This is spiritual warfare. So you need to have the Holy Spirit, the ultimate spirit, on your side when you're going against the enemy, so that you can come out on top, so that you can come out victorious. You win every battle every time with God on your side. And that's the only way you win every battle every time, because you're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You're not wise enough. I'm not either. I'm just saying, like, we're not strong, smart enough to be able to defeat the devil by ourselves. But I know somebody who is, and my daddy will knock him out every time. So I think that that's just really important. And also, I think that you should really get into a church that teaches about the Bible and teaches about God and really walks that out. Because if you do, then they'll love you and accept you as you are, and also be praying for you to come out on the other side and become better and become who God has called you to be. And they will help you to be transformed through Christ. They will pray with you, labor with you. They'll be there for you, and they'll cast out demons and rebuke the devil, and they'll help you just clean it up. They'll war with you. And so I think that it's important to get around a community that's not going to be judging you, but instead helping you to be transformed into the best version of yourself. If you're at a church or been to a church that wasn't as helpful or loving, it's time for you to find one. It's time to come home. Find the place that feels like home to you. Our church, God said, this is home. Like, it feels like family. They really are family. They got my back. And they've helped me through some of the worst and best times of my life. And so, yeah, I think everyone deserves to have a beautiful community like that, that is there for your worst and your best moments of your life. Any last thoughts, Bubba, that you have that you think people should know or should hear about having faith like a child, like you, the way that God answers your prayers, and or just anything?
Well, I guess just try. That's all you have to do. Just try to have a relationship with God, and God can do so many different things through you. Like, people can really change and become, like, can really change and be better just from having a, like, relationship with God. And it doesn't take a whole lot. You just have to at least try.
I got another question for you. Have you been able to see people change or become better by believing in Christ?
Not personally, but I've definitely, like, I know that. Like, I've just, like, heard. I've never actually, like, seen it.
So how do you believe even though you haven't seen it?
Because, I mean, like, even though we believe in what we can see, not everything that we can, like, we can't see everything, but we still might believe in it. And I just can believe, and I just know that people become better if they have a relationship with God.
Just something you know in your heart.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So I think what I take from this is having faith like a child is also trusting yourself again, like trusting your gut, trusting that what you know in your heart is actually true. Because that's what I'm hearing my Bubba say, like, she is just something she just knows. She doesn't, like, she's heard it. She knows it. She feels it. Even if she hasn't seen it, she just knows in her heart. And she can trust her heart and her and what she knows. And I think that's really important for you to get back to trusting yourself and trusting your heart and knowing, just like really knowing that what you feel in your gut is true, like what you feel in your heart of hearts is true. And I think that that'll lead you down the right path. And I know that some of you may be saying, look, this thing that took me the wrong way before. I don't know. I don't trust my judgment. But just lean in again and trusting in God and that He can do it and will do it. Because hope is what fuels our faith. And faith is how we please God. And when we're able to have hope, which fuels our faith, and have faith and be pleasing to God, He'll give us the desires of our hearts because we're seeking Him first and because we have the faith enough to believe Him that He'll do it. He said, surely if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it will be given to you. You can tell this mountain to move and it will be thrown into the ocean. You can tell something to move, a mountain to move, and it be thrown into the ocean if you just have the teeniest amount of faith. So imagine what can change in your life if you really started to exercise your faith muscle and build that up and be willing to hope again, have faith and trust God really honestly and truly with everything. Think great things are happening. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for being able to talk with us. But before you go, I'm launching a brand new thing. It's called the 1% Faith Experiment, and it's going to be amazing. God downloaded it into me, and I think that the 1% should be Christians, those that hold, you know, 1% of people hold 99% of the world's wealth, of the world's money. And I want to see the 1% change and be held by God's people. I want God's people to be the 1%. I need to see more of God's people becoming those that hold the wealth so that we can show what it looks like when someone who is generous and loving and kind and gentle and has self-control and that it's led by God has money. Because we see what it looks like when fools have money. We see what it looks like when those that are not led by God has money. But what would happen if we started just seeing what those who truly trust and believe in God, if they had the most money, if they ran the world instead? Because unfortunately, this world is ran by money. Even though we all have dominion over it as God's children. So what if we actually stepped into that dominion that God has given us? What if we actually were able to step out on faith and tell something to move? What if we actually believe Proverbs 13:22, which states, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, while the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous? What if we actually made that our proclamation and took back our wealth? We took it away from the wicked because it's stored up for us who are the righteous. Righteous just means that we're in right standing with Christ. So if you are someone that is after God's own heart, and hey, if David could be a man after God's own heart with all he was doing, we can be men and women after God's own heart too and be in right standing with Christ if we truly seek Him first, if we truly step out on faith. I want to see what happens. What would happen if God's people actually believe in this Bible that we say we believe in? What if we actually work the practices that a lot of people are working that aren't even Christians? What would happen if God's people truly believed in His word enough to practice it, put it into action, and see if God moves? So, if that sounds even slightly like something you might be interested in, go to 1%faith.com. We're waiting for you. Get on the wait list. We're going 30 days. It's free. But you will have to be dedicated. It is going to calls you to stretch and move and work some muscles that you may not have worked in a long time or maybe ever. It's going to actually cause you to put this Bible to work. This is not just motivational fluff. This is not just talking about how great God is and not actually acting it out. This is not just for us to just sing hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and do nothing else with it. This is us transforming our life to actually look like a Christian, to actually live out what this word is telling us and put it into action. If you're ready to stop being the same, if you're ready to truly be transformed, and you're really ready to put your weight on the word of God, join us. It's starting at the end of this month. Go to 1%faith.com. So go to 1%faith.com. We look forward to seeing you there. It's the number one. And then spelling out the rest, percentfaith.com. We can't wait to meet you. And we look forward to you joining us on the journey to put your weight on your faith. See you soon. Bye. And we'll see you next week. Well, she may not, but I will. Love y'all. Until then, have the most amazing week.